be a growth driver, be a business partner. The marketing department or the marketeer, if you like, should be a business partner to the other stakeholders, whether that be sales, finance, or what have you, instead of the marketeer that we need to collaborate with.
Hello and welcome to the Shiny New Object Podcast. My name is Tom Ollison. I'm founder of Automated Creative, the creative effectiveness ad tech platform. And this is a podcast about the future of data-driven marketing. Every week or so, I have the pleasure and the privilege of interviewing one of our industry's leaders. And this week is no different. I'm on a call with Patrick Jonsson, who is a partner marketing manager at Cisco. Patrick, for anyone who doesn't know who you are and what you do, could you give us a bit of background?
Absolutely, Tom. And thanks for having me on your podcast. It's a real inspiring podcast, listening to the previous episode. So great to be here. So my name is Patrick Jonsson, living in the Netherlands and working for Cisco now for about 11 years. Started off as the marketing lead, responsible for the marketing strategy and execution in the Netherlands. And then for the last 5 years, I've been focusing on, as we call it, partner marketing, which means I'm covering five of the top 10 partners in the Netherlands with whom we work. Those are partners that resell our products and solutions. And for an example, Vodafone, which is one of the service providers that I closely work with whom we drive marketing to through the channel to our end users. Before, I've worked in various marketing roles, varying from enterprise marketing, product marketing, at companies such as Microsoft, at which I spent a lot of time, where I was covering some of the Office products from Microsoft, OneNote at that time, still a popular option, I hope. And I also worked for Symantec, a security company, Rico, more in the document solution. So always working for about 23 years in the IT industry, in a marketing role.
Fantastic. So impressive career, lots of big names, lots of success, but I want to go to the dark side. Tell me about a time where you really made a mess of it, where you were totally embarrassed, shamefaced, head in hand, and thought you wanted the world to swallow you up. But despite how bad it was, it made you better. Tell me about that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I still remember that one till today, Tom. So that was when I just joined Cisco, and that was about 11 years ago, and I had my one of my first management team meetings that I joined. And at that time, we just started to really push the digital marketing strategy from our marketing organization globally through to the countries, to the market. And that was very important to us as a marketeer. And we got these great dashboards explaining all the, nitty gritty details on the click through rates and the views per page and all these details that we are familiar with. And I thought it was important, and I presented it as if it was also important for the rest of the audience, meaning the local management team. And I think the power of nonverbal communication then was really shown to me. And I felt miserable, to be honest. And also after the meeting, a number of management team members told me, like, okay, this was a once and never again presentation, because you need to know what's relevant to you and what's relevant to us. And, from that time on, whenever I have a meeting or presentation or whatever, I really take time to, let's say, translate the content, the message that I want to share into, let's say, the relevance for the listening audience. And that can be, as local stakeholders or customers, but really trying to say what's relevant and, keep the rest as is. Yeah.
So how do you do that now? So we've got all of the data that we have from the platforms, the ones and zeros, the dashboards, the marketing three-letter acronyms. But you've got to talk upstairs. You've got to talk to the business. Maybe not the CEO every week, but you've got to talk to some senior people who don't work in marketing. How do you go about translating our world into theirs?
Yeah, so I always try to keep it in maximum of three points that I want to make clear. Which always start with, the relevance for their job role. And if you look at, for instance, the environment of Cisco that I work in, or the IT tech industry, if you like, it's very you know, driven by sales. And so I try to avoid to talk about, you know, leads that we generate or pipeline that we generate and the numbers behind that. I try to focus on, okay, what do we deliver to the bookings? So the marketing source bookings, as we call that. How many, you know, touch points did we have at a certain deal that was converted at the end, to really show off the relevance of marketing to the sales cycle. And that's more talking about the revenue and the booking side instead of the, you know, the leads that we generate. So let's say top of the funnel, if you like, and really focusing on the revenue and, well, the language that, you know, in this case, the sales team speak. So that's what I try to do, and always keep it simple. Try to avoid the acronyms, as you say, and try to tell a story instead of a marketing, well, PowerPoint, so to speak.
Can I tell you my favorite acronym?
Please, go ahead.
TLA.
Which stands for?
Three-letter acronym, yeah. You know?
Yeah, it's a good one.
So I've been waiting to say that on this podcast for several years.
There you go.
So let's get into some serious advice here. Like, what I'm looking for is a bit of data-driven marketing advice. When someone told you, like, I'll try that and it works straight away, that bit of advice that you share with your teams, the thing that you always go back to that you know that always works.
Yeah, so for me, what always works is before even starting to talk about or execute data-driven marketing is to really understand the relevance that it has to the stakeholder, you know, that you're working with or for whom you're executing this. So that can be sales, it can be finance, it can be engineering in our industry, but really understanding the relevance. So, for example, we are really focusing on our account-based marketing strategy within Cisco, which means that we have a lot of data which, you know, points out the opportunities in various verticals, well, you know, as detailed as possible. And we tend to, let's say, share this information with, in this case, again, the sales teams, as saying, okay, this is a really big opportunity, a certain product solution, you know, that has a big opportunity, in, you know, according to the data that we have. But we had a number of experiences where that was not the case for the sales teams, even though the numbers matched. But they were like, okay, this does not have focus at, you know, these top accounts that we manage, or this does not have focus at these top partners with whom we work, because, you know, they are not they don't have the certifications to even implement these products or solutions, as an example. So then, you know, purely looking at the data, we were thinking like, hey, this is the number one sweet spot or the green fields that we need to engage. But then talking to the sales teams, you know, in this case within Cisco, we really got the mirror like, okay, it can be the data, but it's not the reality. So always try to really understand the relevance of, you know, what you're trying to bring in terms of data relevant marketing to the stakeholders that you're collaborating with or that you need to execute for.
This episode of the Shiny New Object podcast is brought to you in partnership with Manifest. Whether it's live in London or streamed online to the global marketing community, you can always expect a distinctive and daring blend of fast-paced content, startup innovation pitches, and unconventional entertainment from Manifest events. You'll find me causing trouble on stage, recording live versions of this podcast, and sharing a beer with the nicest and most influential people in marketing. Check it out at www.madfestlondon.com. So we're going to talk now about your shiny new object, which is sales and marketing alignment. Now, we've had lots of different shiny new objects on this podcast, and some of them are more obvious than others, and I think this is self-evident. But what I'd like to know is, like, why is sales and marketing alignment your shiny new object? Because it's not really anything new, but what is it about that alignment that's going to change that you're passionate about?
Yeah, so I've been really focused on this subject for a long time now, and also specifically, you know, the last years working at Cisco, but also, you know, talking about this subject with students, for instance, you know, when I do some lectures at business schools, or with our partners in terms of community meetings that we have, where we don't talk about, let's say, the business as usual, but really we talk with the marketeers of our business partners about specific marketing topics that are trending or that are relevant to all of us. And sales marketing alignment is, let's say, the key topic for the last months or half a year that we have discussed with them. And it's key, and it's what I'm passionate about, because it sounds like a no-brainer, right? So before we start driving marketing, we need to have this alignment with sales in terms of the KPIs, in terms of, you know, the messaging and all what have you. When talking to the sales peers, or to my marketing peers, or to, you know, customers even, I often get the feedback that it's, you know, yes, it's the way to go, but hardly any of them do so. So with that, I thought, okay, let's focus on this point, you know, in my work, because it's an easy win, or easy quote unquote, but it's an important win that we need to win to drive a successful marketing execution and strategies. So, you know, for example, I can give you some examples. You know, we had a case where we wanted to drive focus on, we call it the business decision maker, another acronym, the BDM, which is, you know, an important one in the IT industry, because we normally tend to focus on the technical decision makers. So we had all this data collected, and we had this buyer persona, you know, all written out to share with the sales teams. But they really came back to us like, okay, this is really good information, really nice to have, but not now, because, you know, I need to make my number for the next quarter and for the next half year. So please give me more, you know, technical decision makers within either a certain account, or, you know, at a certain new opportunity. But don't bring me this a business decision maker information and data that, yes, yeah, I know it's relevant, but on a long term. But, you know, if we need to focus on those new target audiences, it takes too much time. It's a too long term investment that we don't have the time now to do so, because of the, you know, focus on the business. So that was a learning that we got, to really firstly align with the sales teams before then moving into execution. It's the same with the sales and marketing objectives. You know, mostly, at least in my experience, you know, these are two silos that, you know, have their own objectives and KPIs. And we really needed to align that before we could go to our business partners, saying, okay, this is a strategy that we're going to work at. So what we do at the moment is really first, you know, take the time and efforts to create these templates of joint, you know, sales marketing strategies, where we talk about the same KPIs, the same buyer personas, well, all the same objectives that we need to make before even, you know, talking about planning and the content, for instance. So that's what we do, and that's what we've learned within Cisco, and it helps a lot. And it's you know, it doesn't cost that much beside energy and time to really drive a more effective marketing strategy, and it also includes data-driven marketing, I would say.
So thank you for sharing a moment when that didn't work. Could you give me an example of when it did? When does it work beautifully? Or was there a story that you can tell me where that sales and marketing really came together in a brilliant way?
Yeah, so that was an example with... thanks for asking, by the way, because that was a good example where we were talking about content. You know, we had this new brand campaign, which is obviously still active. It's called the Bridge to Possible campaign. It's a brand campaign that was created at our global head offices, and that was, you know, transferred to us as countries. And, you know, we had this great content, you know, videos, editorials, what have you, which we wanted to share with our audiences and with our customers. And for that, we had this instrument, an internal tool, if you like, where we, you know, shared the content and then asked our sales teams and our engineers to share and like this content, you know, to create scalability through LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and others. But we found out that the content was, you know, not shared as much as we'd hoped for or that we anticipated for, and it was not absorbed either at our customers. So we then came back in conversation with the sales teams, and we asked them, like, okay, what's the reason that you're not sharing this content? It's an easy thing to do, you know, we can create scalability, brand awareness, etc., etc. But they then said, like, okay, this content is, well, let's, I'm not sure how to define it otherwise. It's pure global corporate content, if you like. You know, it doesn't mean anything to our local customers. It's not relevant. It's too, you know, Netflix-ish, if you like. So we then started to work on a local initiative, on a local country digitization plan. That was aligned to this brand campaign. So we worked on local references, and we had one in, for instance, the port of Rotterdam, that was very relevant also for the global team. So they then created a, you know, local sub campaign, if you like, focusing on this account, that made a lot of impact because it had this local relevancy for our market, and not only the Dutch market, also the European market. So then, what was the result was that we had a lot of customer visits from other, you know, big institutions and big customers in the Netherlands, you know, from governments, from healthcare, professional services, who wanted to talk to the Port of Rotterdam in collaboration with us to learn about, you know, how they used technology to become the biggest port of Europe and at the end of the world, which was their ambition. So just by, let's say, to summarize, tweaking the content with local relevance, we found out that it, you know, it was, you know, far more successful than we thought, because it was relevant at the end, instead of just another brand campaign, but true relevance, local relevance. So that was an example of where we saw some success.
So the creative platform was Bridge to Possible, right? How did you localize that in respect to Rotterdam?
The Bridge to Possible payoff, if you like, you know, the campaign, that was still the overall campaign. But this was a sub-campaign that was purely targeted, at the Port of Rotterdam. So, you know, with local videos, local participants, you know, from the Port of Rotterdam themselves. So it was still a brand campaign, which was good, but it was a local brand campaign or brand assets that we got. And with that, it was, you know, relevant to our audience, and it was received well at our sales department, so we could create scalability, because it made, well, simply made sense to them and to the customers as well.
So I'm really interested that your data point here for your data-driven marketing was the data back from the sales team, right? You know, they weren't sharing this stuff. It wasn't getting amplified, which is fascinating. A very small data set, but an important one, right?
Yes, correct.
So what do you think is coming next for data-driven marketing in terms of sales and marketing alignment? Where do you think we'll be in a couple of years' time?
I think we'll be, you know, in a far better shape than today, to be honest. And that's, I can maybe focusing on the IT industry. You know, that's always up and down in terms of, you know, the economy. And we have really started to realize that, you know, it is almost a prerequisite of driving successful marketing from a marketing perspective. But also from a sales perspective, the feedback that we get back more and more is like, okay, please, you know, be a growth driver, be a business partner instead of just a marketing department, you know, with the old fashioned perception that they have from a marketing department. So I think in a few years' time, And I'm sure that there are already a lot of organizations that have come to this point, but I know that there are also a lot, and I think even more organizations that have not reached this point yet, is that the marketing department or the marketeer, if you like, should be a business partner to the other stakeholders, whether that be sales, finance, or what have you, instead of the marketeer that we need to collaborate with.
Well, Patrick, unfortunately, we've got to leave it there. And thank you so much for sharing your insights. If someone wants to get in touch with you about sales and marketing alignment or anything else we've talked about today, where is the best place to do that? And what makes a message to you that you'll reply to?
Yeah, so I've heard it from the other guests as well, and it also works for me. That's LinkedIn. That's by far the best way to reach out. And that I've used as well to reach out to other people. But I think it's good to use LinkedIn, for trying to get to share knowledge with peers and, to get personal or professional value out of it, both for myself and also for the recipient of the message. So, I think that works best for me. So LinkedIn.
Brilliant. Patrick, thanks so much for your time.
No worries. Thank you, Tom.
Hi, just before you go, I'd really appreciate it if you could take the time to write a review of the Shiny New Object podcast on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, whatever it's called these days, or whichever podcast provider you use. We're an indie podcast, so it would go a long way for us if you could just share the word and give us a bit of a support on those channels. That'd just be fantastic. If you haven't got time, that's also cool. And yeah, if you could tell your colleagues about the podcast, and also, if possible, don't forget to subscribe. And I'd love to hear your feedback. If you'd like to speak on the podcast or be a guest, or you think I'm asking the wrong questions, anything, I'd be super interested to hear what you think. So please email me at tom@automatedcreative.net. That's T-O-M at, I'm not going to bother spelling it. Anyway, you'll work it out. Thanks so much.